Hallelujah. You may be seated. A few things I learned following the Lord. Number one, in order for God to do something territorial, in order for God to do something that is an addition to what we have been experiencing before, we are required to be in His presence for a long time. That's one of the things I found. One. Number two, if by any means you are trusting God for a promotion spiritually, you cannot do business as usual with God and expect that there will be an increase. You can't do business with God as usual and expect that a phenomenal increase will find expression. God will have to put pressure on you to mount up with wings, to go to heights in Him that you have never seen. And when you are doing that, people around you will mock you. People around you will make you feel that you are trying to be too spiritual. If you have time for them, it means you are not ready. Number three thing I found. God can begin a mighty thing in a very insignificant place. Mighty thing in a very insignificant place. Those days we have a praying group that used to meet together to pray somewhere on the tennis court on our campus. The mighty prophecies that were uttered in that place, our big church that had more than 1,000 members in its congregation, never experienced the quality of spiritual interfaces that were enjoyed in that our little prayer crucible. So if you are someone that exhorts a platform because of the number of people that congregate, you might miss out on mighty things of God. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Proverbs quickly. Proverbs chapter 24. We want to begin to attend to the book of Proverbs and to glean the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, as we begin our research tonight. It says, true wisdom is an house builded. By understanding, it is established. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. Second scripture. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding He has established the heavens. Now, there are three utensils by which God works. One of which is wisdom. Another is understanding. And yet another is knowledge. Most of the things that God does is through the instrumentality of these utensils of His. And if we are going to walk according to the measures of God that He has committed to us, then of necessity we'll have to subscribe to God's utensils for achieving things even in the heavens and in the earth. Hence, it is therefore needful for us to know these utensils and begin to walk in the light of them. The book of Proverbs is a significant piece for which we may need some time to pay attention to its emphasis. And so I want to invite us again to the book of Proverbs chapter 1, where we left off the other time. Don't forget that if God walks, He walks by wisdom. If God operates, He operates. operates by understanding. And I want to take some time to see if we can stumble into adequate definitions that are practical working definitions of these utensils, so that each and every one of us will be able to discern if wisdom is in your ways or not. The proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. We were told in our last lecture that most of what we have in the book of Proverbs was a product of discipleship that came through David the king to his son that he was preparing to come into leadership after him. Verse 2, the first reason for which the piece was put together was so that we could be able to identify wisdom and also identify the instruction that is supposed to be an accompaniment for wisdom. Now, for every type of wisdom, there is a commensurate accompaniment of instruction that is part of its package. A lady watched a minister preach the gospel on air, on television, and she felt he preached very fine. And in the city of Port Harcourt, Nigeria, so she decided to seek out this preacher. And she was in a physical service after the advertisement that she was part of in the telecast. When she came for the physical service, he preached wonderfully. And she insisted that because of the nature, the complicated nature of her crisis, she wanted to draw wisdom from him. And so she joined the queue of people that were waiting to see the man of God. And when she was given the opportunity to see him one-on-one, having explained to him the complex nature of her predicament, he gave him, first of all, a soap. A soap that was black in color. And the prescription as to how the soap is supposed to be used was that she would have to go, you know, to a river state, Port Harcourt is riverine. That she would have to visit one of the beaches in the night by 12 midnight and use that soap to wash herself. And then all the challenges that she came with would be washed away with the soap. You see, she couldn't discern that the guy was false from his preaching. But when she went further to seek wisdom, to seek instruction that was supposed to be an accompaniment of the wisdom that was behind his preaching, it was a prescription of soap and the beach in the night. Part of the reasons why the book of Proverbs was written was so that we could be armed with the requisite knowledge to be able to discern the wisdom that comes from God. Because as human beings, as mortals, we have deficiencies for which we will need to subscribe to higher levels of impute in our lives. And because of the necessity of these kinds of imputes that need to be furnished here and there in order for us to have our feet established in our ways, we will need wisdom. It is needful also in this lecture for me to say that the nature of wisdom is directive. Please help me preach to your neighbor. The nature of wisdom is directive. And I will need to explain that. The Bible says that wisdom is profitable to what? Direct. It is directive in nature. And maybe you are sitting in the congregation or listening to me online and your state is a state of utter confusion. You are in a maze, in a destiny maze, lost. You yourself, you are lost in search of yourself. That's a state of confusion. The state of confusion finds expression when you lack wisdom. Because wisdom is what? Is directive in nature. Let me show you a few scriptures, if you are still with me, before we begin the research. This research I'm sharing with us is a product of many years of diligent Bible study. And I pray the Holy Spirit will keep us here. And that I sit on a delicate balance. If the atmosphere changes, the emphasis is likely to change along. But I pray that the Holy Ghost will keep us in this mode. Nobody said amen to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you some fascinating things about yourself. All right, let's try Jeremiah chapter 10. Can I have that pen, please? Just the pen. All right. Jeremiah chapter 10. Quickly. Some fascinating things about yourself. Verse 3. Are you true? Is it true that that's Jeremiah chapter 10? Sorry, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, not 3. 23. Now, this is like this prayer that Jeremiah is praying here, or this statement that he's making here, is a function of understanding. Before I begin the lecture, which is a very long lecture, I would like to show us the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And then when we have done that, we will begin a journey. And this journey is quite a distant journey in the book of Proverbs. By the time we reach half of the journey, you will know if your ways are wise. And the thing about functioning in unwise ways is like running a program. You see, when you want to initialize a software on the handle of your handset, maybe there's a Bible there you want to open up, and you click on it. And then it begins to boot. If you change your mind and say you don't want the Bible open again, there's nothing you can do. Until the Bible opens fully, you have no authority over it. That's how the programs of life are. Just like a man that was looking for papers in somewhere in Europe. And the counsel that came to him was that he could marry. The man was married. The counsel that came to him was that his wife should marry a white man, that is casually. And then through that casual marriage, she will have social security number and then divorce the white man. And after divorcing the white man, they will now go to the court and marry. Yeah, then it will look like a new marriage was just contracted. And then he, by reason of her establishment, will also be identified in the computer and social security number and all the privileges of residency will be accorded him. Hallelujah. Then the wife was released, got involved with this white man, and she woke up in the morning and greeted the man good morning. And the man remembered that his last girlfriend never greeted him good morning. So he got interested that he's going to stay in the marriage. You are not with me. That was a program. See, oh my God, oh my God. They did not envisage the possibility of the man falling in love in the program. So the woman... And it happens to be that right about the time that all of this was arranged, the man has been fighting for the administration of his late dad's will. And during the time the woman came into his life, the will, the issues of the will and the legal issues were solved. And the inheritance now showed up, which is in terms of houses, lands, and businesses. And when the woman looked at the prospects with the white guy also... and looked at his struggling Igbo husband, a struggling husband. She divorced him. In the program, when the counsel was suggested, because if we're going into the realm of counsel, it means that a source, a type of wisdom was consulted initially, because the product of counsel is direction. And the profit that wisdom gives is in its ability to give you the accurate direction that is consistent with your calling in God, your purpose in God, and the will of God. The guy did not know that having initialized that protocol, there was going to be a divorce in between it. Having initialized it, the security of the wife according to that country was going to be guaranteed, but he will be a fugitive. Having initialized the process, but it was just one evening discussion that led to the implementation of that program. And they never knew all the codes, all the possibilities that the program held. And the young man is somewhere in asylum in one nation right now. He's a fugitive. Meanwhile, his wife is on Facebook in that big compound that the man received by inheritance. Green! You just see her like this. May the Lord give you understanding. Let's start again. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I'm just trying to justify my lecture, because the lecture is long. In order for you to be willing to follow me to the end, I need to tell you what the lecture is about at this time. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Oh, you are not with me. Are you with me? He said, your way. Maybe you studied civil engineering in the University of Lagos. Studied medicine in Benue State University. Studied law. And went to Lagos for law school. The Bible is saying that your way is not in yourself. There's nothing you have done by yourself that is able to inform your way. That's one. Two. Second discovery that the prophet made is, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Even though you are full of intelligence, of human intelligence, there is a function you cannot generate by your human wisdom. And that function is the ability to direct your steps. It means for direction to come to you, to come from another source, you will need to fetch it from another source. And the specialty, the nature of wisdom is that it gives direction. So when we are talking about direction, what we are talking about is an application of wisdom. And because God did not include in your faculty the ability for you to direct yourself, you will need to subscribe to one of the possible sources of wisdom to fill in that function in your life. And there are three layers of wisdom. There's a wisdom of God, there's a wisdom of man, there's a wisdom of demons. Now, that guy that was willing to trade his wife so that he could get an identity in the nation that he entered into without papers, it was the wisdom of man he was working with. And the person that was selling the wisdom to him showed him examples of people that went that way, and now they are settled. They have all the privileges of residency in the nation in question. So they brought testimonies as the validity of that pathway. Be careful, right? Be careful when a preacher preaches to you, and instead of bringing the word of God, he brings a testimony. So you don't know. You don't know that the person can actually sell the wisdom of man in preaching. He brings a testimony. Most times when preachers want to deceive people, what they do is that they bring testimonies. That he worked for this person. He worked for that person. He worked here in Malaysia. Worked in Zimbabwe. It's okay. We don't live by testimonies. We live by what? By the word of God. Counsel of God. The wisdom of God. So that you will not become a victim of the wisdom of man. I asked for $1,000 for a 24-hour miracle. The people now give $1,000. And then he gives you testimonies of people that in 24 hours something happened to them. And I went to New York and I requested for $1,000. And when people responded, this is what happened to this. I went to Zimbabwe. You see, the credibility of what he's selling is tied to some testimonies he's telling you. That's the nature of the wisdom of man. You cannot build your life on that thing that preacher is saying. And I assure you, go and give $1,000. At the end of the day, you'll become a victim. You will know they stole from you. That's how a preacher in Nigeria here in Lagos, he came to Brazil and then he pulled off his singlet and used the scissors to cut it into 1,000 pieces, and he was selling one piece for $1,000. And all the able men in Brazil came and began to give. There was so much money was made that they poured it on the bed in the hotel room. So much money. I know some of you know the person I'm talking about. I know you know the person. You know what happened? The preacher that invited that preacher that did that thing, when the preacher left, he became crippled. Because God had to judge. Now, a lot of people, a lot of preachers are using, and when they want to make you do such things, they bring testimony. Not the word of God, not the counsel of God, but a testimony. And if there's any greed in you, they will exploit that greed. And you will want to do business with God with a Japanese calculator. Hoping that, okay, if I give 1,000, oh, you are not with me. What we want to do this weekend, is it this weekend or this month? Okay, it might be this week. I don't know if it's this weekend. Is to help deliver you from those kind of things and to make you understand the true nature of the wisdom of God. Can we go on with that scripture again finally before we begin the journey? He said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. The first reason for which the book of Proverbs was written was to make us know wisdom and make us know the instructions that are an accompaniment of wisdom. We want to know wisdom and we want to know the kind of instruction that accompanies wisdom. Just like we said, that preacher preached well on TV, but when the lady came to him for wisdom, the wisdom had to do with the beach, had to do with a strange soap, had to do with candlelight, had to do with extra biblical sources. So we know that the true frame of reference from whence the man had the ability to do everything he did was in a source that was not God. So it is when we listen to the instruction that your wisdom teaches that we can trace it to the source from whence it comes. Are you with me? All right. Let's go. The scripture that we'll need to do this work is in the book of James chapter 3. If you are in the book of James chapter 3, we will begin the work from there. James chapter 3 from verse number 11. James chapter 3 from verse number 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? There's a question. Have you ever seen a fountain sending forth sweet water, sending forth bitter water from the same place? Next verse. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine or figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. Now, what the writer here is trying for us to prove is source whenever we are confronted with wisdom. And what's the nature of wisdom? It's directive in nature. You must understand that knowledge is informative in nature. Wisdom is directive in nature. Understanding is based on what we call intelligence. Understanding, knowing the working principle behind the provision that is made available to you. Oh my, you're not with me. Let me try to digress. Maybe it will help our insight. Are you with me? Okay. We'll still come back to the book of James chapter 3. All right, can we do Matthew chapter 18? Let me show you something quickly. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. I will show you knowledge there. Then I will show you understanding there. I will show you understanding there. If you can perceive what I'm trying to communicate with you, it will be easy for you to interface with people and know what stuff they are made of. He said, verily I say unto you, this is knowledge now, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's knowledge. You didn't know that before. That's an information that Jesus has given you. You didn't know such information before. So he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I want to disclose something to you. Whatsoever ye shall what? Bind on earth. It shall be what? Bound in the heavens. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth. It shall be what? It shall be loose in heaven. You didn't know this before. Jesus is just disclosing this now. This is information. This is knowledge. Right? Knowledge will not be knowledge for you if after you receive this information, you never went to practice it. It is not knowledge for you. Knowledge is life applicable. Knowledge gives you the possibility of what we call the do-it-yourself possibility. If it is truly knowledge that you received, you don't need a coach to help. You know what to do the moment you get knowledge. If you are not doing anything, it means you don't have knowledge. Even though knowledge is informative, it is more than information. It's life applicable information. It should translate into an activity. And if it doesn't translate into an activity, then it means what you received stayed in the realm of information and never became a practice. And for such people that have been heavily loaded with information that never led to a practice, their life will never change. So when you see a man and you begin to see him practice some things, it's as a result of the fact that he had some knowledge. He's beginning to use the tools that God uses. There's a line of action that has begun because he has access to a certain knowledge he didn't have before. And he's committed to sowing, investing in that knowledge to see the possibilities that are bound thereof. When you walk around, don't pity everybody. No. No. Because, are you with me? So many people... As you grow in ministry, you become wiser. Not the wisdom of Igbo men. I'm talking of wisdom of God. God is not helping everybody. And don't be involved helping somebody that God is not helping. Yes. Some people, God deliberately put them in conditions that are overwhelming so that they can repent. If you call that, God has initiated. So this is knowledge. Are you with me? Knowledge is always life. What? Applicable. And when you receive knowledge, you are supposed to be delivered from supervision. So if a true pastor begins to give you insight into the Word of God, he has done 70% of the work. It's now left for you to now begin to practice and to see the integrity of the principles that you were given. It's just like, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. That's knowledge. You didn't know that. So now that you know that, the responsibility has been transferred to you to begin to seek compliance. And if after you were armed with knowledge, it did not translate to compliance, nobody can help you. Exactly. So God, these are the tools by which God works. If he's going to walk, he's either walking through knowledge, or he's walking through how? Wisdom. Or he's walking through what? Should I tell you something? There is nobody that is successful in his calling that is not operating by these three principles. And I tell you the truth, 2021 is that time where you need to become deliberate about your life. Is that clear? Now, so, I want to take you on a journey. If you are listening to what I'm saying, you should come out with the tools that will arm you for success in the area of your calling. Because you cannot succeed at everything. But you can succeed in the ordination of God. There's so much grace, stronger than the work of curses and devils in your family, to overturn the will of God that is rooted in your ordination. Is that clear? All right. So my job now is to transmit to you knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The very tools that God works with. And if those tools are in your hand and you refuse to work, it will no longer be God's fault that your condition is like that. It means if we are going to cast out the culprit in your life, that culprit is you. The Lord give you an answer. Alright, so in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, we see a knowledge here. Verily, say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed where? In heaven. That's the first knowledge Jesus is making available to us. Second knowledge is in verse 19. Reason why it is second knowledge is because Jesus now started using a word. He said, again, that means in addition to the first knowledge I gave you. What do I want? What am I trying to do now? I'm trying to give you another knowledge. What? Again. You get it? So in the book of Matthew 18, 18, we have one knowledge. That's a joker knowledge. Matthew 18, 19, second knowledge. We didn't know that before. It was Jesus that disclosed it. And then Matthew 18, 20 is understanding. Then I will show you what you can do with knowledge. And I will show you what you can do with understanding. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Matthew 18, verse 19, second knowledge. He said, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now, this is the law of agreement. Are you with me? Because it requires at least two people. In this second principle, a quorum is required. A quorum must be satisfied in order for us to be eligible to practice the possibility that is tied to this second principle. The issue of quorum is significant. And anytime you see two or three in the Bible, the subject matter is quorum. Quorum is critical in terms of the possibilities that are bound in body life. There's something called body life. Body life talks about the potentials we have When two believers come together, there is a quadrant of possibility that is tied to the fact that more than one believer is coming together to establish something. So, verse 19 begins to introduce the possibilities of body life and the principles that must be satisfied in order for us to be able to take advantage of the possibilities of body life. Second thing there is still a knowledge thing. It is informative. You never knew it before and until Jesus began to disclose it. Is that clear? I don't want to take it beyond this point, because if we begin to talk about the quorum, it will take us very deep. If we begin to talk about the practice of that law, we have an example of it in the book of 1 Corinthians. The practice of this. We have an example there. It is on the strength of this principle of agreement that the church can exercise certain authorities. And these authorities that the church can exercise is consistent with the rank of the fellowship that is in question and the purity of her circle of leadership. This is informative. Now, this is understanding. Next verse now tells us why verse 19, the information that Jesus gave in verse 19, why it is powerful, why it is possible, why it can work. So, in understanding what God is doing, is that He's unveiling the principle that makes something work. You see, the information was, if two of you shall agree as touching anything that they may ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Why? This is the why. Understanding answers the question of why. Why is it so? Yes, information has made us understand that it is possible. Understanding tells us why it is possible. There are some things that you cannot do except you have understanding. Now, this is why it is possible. It is possible because where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Can you see? The first thing there is quorum. Second thing there is the context in which they are gathered. Third thing there is the possibilities that are bound in the atmosphere of the presence of God. Those are three things. These three things gives us the understanding of why 19 is possible. So that should stretch a little. Maybe you understand what I'm talking about. Are you still with me? Don't forget what we are doing. He said, if two of you shall agree as touching anything that they may ask. That's the problem. The problem is we may ask the thing, but are we in agreement about the thing? Because I've seen before where we were doing an aluta. We no go agree, oh, we don't go agree. And the people that were leading the aluta, hallelujah, one of the people leading the aluta was in a phone call discussion with the VC, how much they will settle so that the aluta can end. You see, even though we are saying the same thing, we no go agree, oh, in our heart, there is what? No agree. You are not with me. So that's the challenge. The challenge is agreement. And meanwhile, this agreement, according to the book of Acts chapter 1, and the things that happened on the day of Pentecost, we see that the only way we can agree is when we are tuned by the Spirit of God. The Bible says they were in one accord. How? In one place. It is possible for you to be in one place. But you are not in one accord. It was the Holy Ghost that tuned them to the same frequency. And when they got to that place, when they achieved one place and one accord, They were able to make demands on heaven, and the Holy Ghost came down. They were tuned by the Holy Ghost. That means some men brought the Holy Ghost down from heaven and trapped him here because they were in one accord. How much power, how much possibility lies with us as a people of God in view of this principle that Jesus has made available to us? And Jesus went further to say, the reason why it is effective, operational, is because, understanding now, where two or three are gathered. So it is beyond one person. It is body life, engaging body life, are gathered in my name. And according to Jesus, the name of Jesus is actually a spiritual location, according to this scripture. The place where they are gathered is where? Oh, I know you are not following. According to this scripture, where are they gathered? They are gathered where? In a place called his name. So there's a place in the spirit called the name of Jesus. I know you don't believe that. But the Bible says, my Bible, I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a place. He said, the righteous runneth therein and is saved. Is that true? Is that in your Bible? Okay. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, speaking about the name of Jesus, I'll need that scripture. So help me, Philippians 2. Where is he? Philippians 2. No. If you start from here, they will not. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was, okay, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at, now underline at. Not in, but at location. At that location that is called the name of Jesus. That's where every knees bow. Now, have you ever come with a prayer point and you went into the presence of God and began to pray? And you got to a place in the spirit. Your spirit was interfacing with the place in the spirit where the place had its own prayer point. So the one you brought with your paper, in your paper, that your new resolution, that's your theme, your agenda for 2021, you brought it into. But it did not pass the test of the authority that is in that place. That place has its own life. It has its own will. It has its own preferences. And the moment you get there, how you will know that you are there is that your own prayer point doesn't pass. It's a place that has its own authority and it has its own prescription of realities. In that place, every knee bows. In that place, every tongue confesses. That's the proof, the organic proof, that you are in that space called the name of Jesus. And you must arrive there congregationally. In order for the possibility in verse 19 to be in view. You get that? Oh, you're not with me. You see, with understanding, I can troubleshoot your own experience. Just in case you practice it and it didn't work for you. When we come to the place of understanding, that's where I will show you what you did wrong. So if you know something by knowledge, and in addition to knowledge, you also know the understanding, you will always get that principle right because you know what makes it work. You understand that? Good. So God works with wisdom. God works with knowledge. God works with understanding. If you are going to order your life in such a way that demons will not be able to manipulate you, you must begin to operate by wisdom, operate by knowledge, and operate by understanding. And until you begin to operate by the knowledge of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, and the understanding of the Lord, you will still be a victim of life. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Why is it that the devil is not contending with God about creation? That, okay, he's attacking. See, God created with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He's beyond the scope of the devil. Even though the devil doesn't like it, he can't do anything about it. All he will do is, now that God has created, but he cannot undo that which was forged by wisdom, forged by knowledge, and forged by understanding. He can't undo it. So if you want your own life to be steady, you need to come into that arena. Now, let us go to James chapter 3. For a basic definition. In James chapter 3 verse 12, the Bible says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine or figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Next verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation. Oh my God. That's ancient English. The word conversation is character. That's what it means. A good character. A good manner of living. His walks with meekness of wisdom. Now give me another translation for this verse. Because King James is complicated. Do you have any other translation for that verse? It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. Now, a wise man, are you with me? One of the evidences of a wise man is conduct, character. A fool will never believe that his bad character is going to be offensive to his destiny. A fool will always think you can get away with bad character. Hallelujah. You're not with me. I hope you know ministry. Ministry is service to the Lord and service under the authority of the Lord. Right? That thing called ministry is built in integrity. And it exists by integrity. What happens to a pastor when there is a public outcry that three ladies are pregnant for him? What happens to his ministry? Somebody help me quickly. Okay, you don't want the lecture. I say, somebody help me. What happens to a pastor when it becomes common knowledge that three ladies, one Fulani, one Igbo, one Igede lady, pregnant for him? The fact that you know that ladies are pregnant for him will not affect his ability to preach. He will still be very good on the pulpit. But you see, he doesn't have the character that supports what he wants to do on the pulpit. And so people will not trust him. Are you with me? He may even go back to God and repent. And God may forgive him more. But human beings will not. Because what he signed up to do is rooted in integrity. And he could not produce that result in his character. So his preaching will not substitute for his lack of character. A man of wisdom will invest so much to ensure that his character is right. You know, a time came in the body of Christ where it was about how much money you could make as a young man. That was the goal of every young man. We left things like character behind and we became foolish people. It is when you have made more money than you can spend that you will discover that if you have a deficiency in character, your life will go in the area of the things that the Bible disabuses. Naturally. If you did not grow in your success, you didn't grow in your calling, you just came to the city and then you started gathering 400 people and wearing tie, and there's light everywhere. Just the people will like you and like your packaging. Are you with me? But your character is going to deny what you are doing. So a wise man will take time to invest in building his character, because everything that is in your future is going to be standing on the foundation of your character. And just in case you are a preacher, if you don't want people to know that you are fornicating, then don't ever fornicate. Because if you do, then we know. I know you will not say amen, because let me come again. If you are a preacher here and you don't want people to know that you are living an inconsistent life, the best way to do it is don't start. Because if you start, people will know. You know we are not God now. But no preacher that I know has a filthy life will ever stand here. Do you know how many years it took to build here? I will never respect any preacher that brings an adulterer to his pulpit. He might be very anointed, and maybe you have market reasons to bring him to your altar. Those market reasons for which you brought him to the altar are the same reasons why Jesus will disqualify you. So I will stay far away from you. If you have any form of compatibility with someone that is a known deviant, a maverick, as far as sexual purity is concerned, then your destiny and everything you are preaching and your ministry is suspect. Because the first show of wisdom is in character. According to this scripture, a wise man will walk in humility. Because when you see pastors of your age, most of them will want to prove that me, I'm the strongest. So what you do in that situation is just go down and say, "Una, we don't know." Because the fact that you go down will never affect your content, your oil. It's only wise people that know that. The reason why two people are competing is because no one accepted that the other one is more. So give the other person, ventilate the person's flesh, if that's what the person wants. The deeper man will go down in humility, because he knows he will never lose anything by being humble. When you see a man like this, his destiny, his days of stardom have been numbered. Come with me, go. I've not finished. Next verse, quickly, next verse. He said, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." Next verse. "Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual and of the devil." Can we go back to the scripture that, are you with me? That led to this one. Go back to the last scripture. So that lets us see earthly wisdom. How does earthly wisdom manifest itself? Yes, 14. Quickly. "But if you harbor bitter envy," number one, if you envy people, if you can afford that, if you harbor selfish ambition in your heart, bitter envy, selfish ambition is a proof of the fact that you're operating by a wisdom which is not of God. And when you're operating like this, don't ever expect that the God of heaven, who is not the author of that wisdom you are using, will be the one to promote you. No, many people are in ambition and they are expecting Jehovah to come and promote them. Meanwhile, that ambition is a manifestation of wisdom that is either sensual, earthly, or demonic. In ministry, what you are out to achieve is not an ambition. It's everything that Jesus has instructed us. And that's why, if we all focus on what Jesus has instructed us, what someone else is doing has no bearing with what you are doing. I can attend your meeting. I learn from what you are doing to the degree to which it can be applied within our own context. And the way you are applying what you are doing may not be how we will apply what we saw. We still need wisdom to bring an application of what you are doing to improve what we are doing in the light of the marching orders that the Lord has given us. But when you find a man whose oppression is consistent with envy and with selfish ambition, maybe other people are doing well and he's not happy that other people are doing well, that's envy. There is no way you can be operating that way and you expect the God of heaven to promote you. I remember those days when we were on campus. I don't know, we did some fasting and then God gave me what I'm operating today. The spirit of revelation now dropped on my life. And those days when I opened, Shala is my witness. Those days when I opened one scripture, it comes with so much light. And there's no way you can sit under my teaching those days and not know that I taught something. I started becoming conspicuous. And if you know how many people hated me just because of the gift I had from God. You know one advantage I have now? I was privileged to live long enough to see those people 18 years later. 20 years later. The envy they had, 20 years later it was still there. And God could not use them. Because it was earthly. And that's why it's necessary for you to know that the fact that your friend just became engaged, if you felt it as envy, take 3 days of prayer and ask God to purge you. If not, you have set yourself up. The God of heaven will not be able to promote you. Go on with my scripture, verse 16. Say, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So the crucible of envy is the den, the cocoon of every evil practice. I've seen people in the name of ministry, wicked, trying to edge the other one out. Pastors in the same ministry, different branches of the same ministry, one trying to edge another one out. One, lies are told just to suppress someone that they feel is a threat, that if he begins to establish himself in the domain, maybe their own members will run to him. How will they not run to him? They will run to him when you don't know your calling. Or maybe you are not even called in the first place. You just felt we could do something. That means you are harboring people for the ultimate man that God has sent. And there's no way you can stop them from going to him when the fullness of time comes. What makes your ministry strong is what you receive from Jesus. I know what Jesus gave me. He gave me the spirit of revelation. As long as I'm alive and I'm in Christ Jesus, if I wake up, I will navigate according to that gift. There's nothing you can do about it. Even if you pray demonic prayer, it will increase because its source is from heaven. Do you understand that? You find what Jesus gave you and be strong in it. It's too late for you to pray for that the one I receive will fail. It will never fail. And as long as I stand there, I cannot be wrong. Quit envy. Find yourself. There's too much envy in the body of Christ. Somebody is rising, everybody wants to cut. Do you know how many years pastors hated me in this town? But he didn't do anything because my contract is between me and God. And most of them in their hatred gossiped about me and gave me the kind of publicity I didn't have the money to pay for. And in the full, you can't fight against a wise man.
You can only help him fulfill his destiny. They gave me publicity in quarters that I didn't have money to pay for. How many handbills and posters will we have erected to give us the kind of publicity that people through envy gave us? They helped us. And in the fullness of time, when we now did Festival of Glory, they said, ah, see that man. They now saw the man. They didn't know my face before. The billboard now attracted attention. They said, more go see that man, more go see that man, more go. And those were the days where the candle burned so strong. So quit envy. Let's look for Jesus. If you have something from Jesus, you will be busy attending to Jesus and you will not know there's somebody by your side. So busy. Hallelujah. And meanwhile, if you have journeyed until you got married, even according to scripture, are you there? If you and your wife met in the coven, and it was in the coven you married, and you two of you now converted to Christianity, or maybe only you converted, she's still a witch. According to scripture, that marriage is still valid. That's the strange thing about marriage. The next time when you quote that scripture, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away. Before you quote it, take inventory. There are many things that will cross. And one of them is marriage. Then suddenly you realize you need wisdom. Suddenly you will realize you need what? All right, next verse. But the wisdom that is from above, what's the nature? The nature of that wisdom is that it is first pure. Then what? Peaceable. Now this is our first point of study. We're going to check all the items here. Because the reason why the book of Solomon of Proverbs was written was so that we could know wisdom. So I want to take you on a journey to know wisdom first. Then the second thing is we should know instruction. Instruction that is an accompaniment to wisdom. Now let's take the first item there. The wisdom that is above is first. What? Pure. Numbers. Numbers chapter 24. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Wisdom that is from above. First pure. Before I read, let me give you a background. Children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt and they were proceeding and processing towards the land of promise, and they decided to camp in the wilderness. And when they camped in the wilderness, first of all, it was a wonder. The number of men alone was 600 according to the scriptures. History says there were 3 million people. What happens if we sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow morning and in IBB Square there are 3 million people? They say they are just passing. You know, the whole land will not be at peace. Even you will not sleep. You become a security man. If just like you heard the knowledge that there are 3 million people in IBB Square and they said they are not staying, they are just coming to pass. And they will pass through welfare quarters. All of us in welfare quarters, if you have a gun, a machete, you bring it out. That was the kind of stuff that happened. And when they saw this crowd in the wilderness, the king knew that the only way he could discomfit this crowd was to get someone that knows how to curse by divination. You must have heard my teaching before that one of the reasons why witches, warlocks resort to curses is if a curse is released and it stays on your life, it will not be evident that you are cursed until you are faced with a battle. A curse will make you fail in battle. And so when we check the symptoms of your life, and
Are you with me? Someone is quoting a scripture to me and say, is it not written that there is no enchantment against Jacob? Let me tell you why. Don't ever take a scripture out of context and think it is scripture. That scripture is only true in his habitat. Are you here? If you take the scripture out of context, you have taken it out of his habitat. It's no longer true in your own philosophy, in your own ideology. It's only true within the context in which it is found. That's why I took you to the book of Numbers chapter 24. Sorry, I'm going to take 15 more minutes of your time so that I can make a complete sense. And then we'll finish this lecture for today, which is the introduction. And then subsequently, we can now build steadily. When we are doing a book study, it's not going to be as fast as an inspirational preaching that comes from my spirit. When we're doing a book study or a subject study, we follow it meticulously, not with the intention of finishing, but with the intention of ensuring that everybody has understanding of what we're trying to do. Are you with me? Okay. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. That means Balaam is an example of someone that knew God before, that backslid, and then got involved with the devil. The fact that you encountered God before, there are some frequencies of God that are still inside of you. If you experience that frequency, you can identify that this is God. So he is an example of someone that went deep with God. And if, just in case you want to ask, hey, which family is this Balaam from? Now this Balaam is the grandchild of Abraham. One of the children that came through Keturah. That's where he came from. And if you are a student of the Bible, you will know that when Abraham wanted to cast his lot with Isaac, all the other children from the other women, he gave them gifts and sent them away. Part of the gifts that he gave them is this gift of prophecy that Balaam still has. Exactly. Right. So Balaam has a heritage that is good. He was raised in church, but after university, decided to begin to seek divination. Now learned divination. So he knows. Have you seen a transistor radio before that if you tune it, you can pick Harvest FM. If you tune it, you can pick Love FM. That's how Balaam was. It was a transistor radio. And he understood more than one frequency. So the Bible says when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Stay with me. I want to explain something. Next verse. That means the Holy Ghost had drawn his attention to the fact that the puzzle that made his enchantments not to work is in the wilderness. The mystery that made all the seven altars that he raised not to be able to secure the spirits that will give him counsel, the mystery was in the wilderness. And what exactly was in the wilderness? And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. This is what made the curse not to work. Now, you see, this is the ark. Are you with me? So, this is the tribe of Reuben. The tribe of Reuben, they are on this line. So, the first house in Reuben is the first tent. The second son of Reuben, second tent. Third son of Reuben, third tent. Fourth, do you understand that? Then this is the second son of the family. First son of that second son is here. So the place of your own tent is already known based on the fact that the center of the fulcrum of the civilization is the ark. Oh, you are not with me. Are you with me? Do you know calisthenics? Those when they want to play World Cup, then they will now, people will form F, FIFA, I. There's a way they will arrange themselves. Uh-huh. So this is calisthenics. And they are angulated to the ark. The ark is the center of the civilization. Now, if you are running from war, you, now, and we are running from war, there's a bomb here. Do you think we'll run in order?
Israel will not run scattered. They will run in a pattern. If you are running from war, I will pick my friend Shala, is my close friend. Me and him will sleep in my own tent. Me and Shala. But if it's Israel, it's not so. Where you can sleep is not, you can't decide it. The pattern is what decides it. And this pattern was what one of the things Moses downloaded. That pattern of their settlement was an illustration of a reality in the realm of the spirit. That's how shrines were built. Shrine, you know a shrine? A shrine is a place where you can access, you can trap a spiritual thing into a physical place. It was those, in order for you to do that, you must mirror the image of the dimension of the spirit and implant it in the air. That's the same technology by which the temple was erected, the temple was constructed, to mirror the dimensions of God. Because the Holy of Holies looked like the place where God dwells in heaven. If he enters the Holy of Holies, he won't know he has changed realm. That was how it was constructed. You understand? So this pattern of their dwelling was consistent with a mirror image of a spiritual pattern in the spirit. And as long as they held that pattern, there was no enchantment against what? Don't quote that scripture and say, witchcraft will work in your life. It will work. Someone goes to fornicate and he's saying no enchantment. Meanwhile, he has broken the pattern. He's now vulnerable. You don't understand it? It is only that man that is angulated to Christ that is not in view of witchcraft injury. Let me peg it there. We'll talk about this later. And I will show you why good, terrible things happen to good people. Are you there? Now, now, this is too, it's taking too much time. Run away. That means, go to Numbers chapter 31. That means, are you there? Balaam attempted to curse Israel and it was not possible because they were in alignment. Go to Numbers chapter 31 verse 16. When he saw that the curses did not work, he went back to the king and gave the king a counsel. It was the counsel that worked. The curses did not work. What worked? The counsel. Behold, these cursed the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. The counsel that Balaam gave to the king that contracted him was that, you see, if we use spiritual means, we cannot defeat these people. The God they serve is a God of holiness. So release naked women into the camp. The people will defy themselves, and it will be their God that will kill them by themselves, by himself. Release what? Women. So women that were charmed with spirits were released. The people broke their consecration. They didn't need weapons to fight Israel. It was the God of the house that fought Israel. You know, the wisdom of God is first what? You see, the counsel that Balaam gave now revealed the true substance of the wisdom he was working with. The counsel was a recommendation of multiply immorality there. So we now know now that Balaam was operating a wisdom that was not pure. I remember a certain prophet, a politician, went to him. Will I win in the coming elections? He said, no. But if you stir up bloodshed, you win. Even though you lose, you win eventually. The Bible says what? That the wisdom of God is faith. Let me stop there for today. We are going deep. It's first people. What Balaam could not achieve by divination, he achieved it by giving a satanic counsel. And let us see what happened to the Balaam. Next verse. Oh. Wait. Let me use my Bible. Let me show you what happened to Balaam. Balaam was killed. And the reason why he was killed was because of the counsel that he gave. Yes, somebody. Oh, I've taken more time than I requested. Balaam was killed. Right? The reason why his covering was released because he gave the enemy a weapon to strike at Israel. And that weapon was a counsel that he gave. And when you check the counsel, that's when you will know. What verse? Okay. Let's check that scripture, whether it's the one I'm looking for. Joshua 13:22. He said, Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. As long as you don't kill this man that knows how to fabricate counsel, that was a weapon that was used to fight Israel. When divination could not work because of alignment, it was counsel. But we saw that the counsel was a counsel of iniquity, showing that the wisdom that Balaam was operating was not the wisdom that came from above. Now, in final analysis, I told you once upon a time, that I had a roommate that was a more experienced preacher on campus, and he was telling me about ministry. And he said that there are two things that a minister cannot survive. That you will take church money and you will take women. That he's telling me from the angle of experience, women, you can't escape women. And money. He now went further in the council that the thing is, when you take a woman, don't be caught. It's only the day you are caught that the anointing will go. So you organize how you will not be what? Where is that council from? He said the wisdom of God is first pure. Let us pray. Now, part of what you need to pray this night is a dedication to a life of purity. A man that is priding in the fact that his garments have been defiled has opened a door to his ruin, but he doesn't know. In the day when it is as if he's about to enter into another phase of his destiny, the iniquity will be the demons that will hold him down. You need to make a commitment for purity this night, because the way of wisdom is the way of purity. The wisdom of God is first and foremost what? Pure. Some of us are traveling ministers. We've gone around. At least I've gone around Nigeria. I've seen the rich. I've seen the strong. I've seen people in power call us to bring the perspective of God. This is the decision I made. If I'm ministering to a politician, I will not collect money from you. That's number one. So that I can tell you the truth, the way it comes from God. And I will go with my transport money. Are you with me? Because the wisdom of God is first pure. Every commitment you make to purity is going to safeguard your destiny. Every young man in this place, every young woman in this place, every boy, every girl, I speak to you tonight. You need to take a stand for purity. Take what? A stand for purity. It came to pass one time in my life that a lady insisted that I should sleep with her. The reason why I did not was not because I was married. The reason why I did not was because I could not offend Jesus. Joseph said, how can I do this evil and sin against God? I have a living relationship with Jesus that I cannot trade for anything. And if you are a cutting-edge preacher and you have not had an encounter, somebody offering herself to you, it's just a matter of time. And if you have not made up your mind before that day comes, you'll be a victim. Your story will be told in the dark. Can you cry? I am a Puritan. It's in my purity that my strength resides. Just like Samson's strength was in his dreadlocks, the strength of a Puritan is in his commitment to purity, to holiness. The wisdom of God is first pure. It is first pure. His overwhelming nature is his uncompromising commitment to purity. I choose the way of the Lord. The way of purity. I know the message might be hard, but that's how the terrain of wisdom is. You want to be wise? Then your stand about purity must be defined. We are Puritans, and our strength resides in our commitment to purity. We will not sacrifice it for anything that this world can offer. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord.
Please let's open our mouth and pray and ask the Lord to give us an irreversible hatred for sin, incurable hatred for sin, incurable hatred for sin. Let's ask the Lord to give us an incurable hatred for sin. The Bible says, you love righteousness and you hated wickedness. Lord, give me an incurable hatred for sin. Give me an incurable passion for righteousness. An irreversible passion for righteousness. an inexhaustible passion for righteousness, a bottomless passion for righteousness, a bottomless passion for righteousness, an incurable 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 hatred for evil. This woman was a married woman. The husband is fully alive and active, but this woman had another young guy that she was doing runs with. And then in one of the instances, while he was having an affair with the guy, the son ran into them and caught her red-handed. And then she placed the son on Roger. On allowance. From that day henceforth, the son was placed on allowance. On regular salary, not to bust the secret. And that was not enough to refrain her from continuing. She continued. So in one of the instances, she was traveling to the state to meet with a boyfriend. And she had an accident and she died. She died on the road. And then while they were taking her for burial, the son to an accident, and they were coming for the burial, he put some stuff in his pocket to facilitate illicit relationship. And then the guy now in the mother's burial fell on the lady he approached. The lady said, "We are cousins, don't you know that?" And then he went and slept with another lady that was mentally deranged. Then he said, the head wrong, nothing wrong with the other part of her body. So the fools, like Popsy say, fools. He think her life, what made her mad and imbecile, is separate from the other part of her body. And then during the course of time, the guy became mad also, and he died. There's nothing that exposes a man to cheap ruin like immorality. I want us to pray. And when it doesn't matter where you have gone to. That is the easiest way to ruin. I want us to pray, and I want us to be very deliberate. Do you know what is called incurable? Incurable and irreversible. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to give you an incurable hatred for sin. A bottomless hatred for sin. A hatred that you can't be cured from. The virus of irrecoverable hatred for evil. for unrighteousness, for impurity. And then in addition to that, you will also ask him to give you an incurable passion, passion for righteousness. It is passion for righteousness that will make you, if you fall into the hand of a lady that strives herself naked, she will look like human waste. There is something that will make her look very irritating and disgusting, and it applies to you also as a woman. There is a working of this grace that can make iniquity to look very disgusting and irritating to you. It can happen like that. Can you open your mouth and pray that prayer in a moment? And this thing we are talking about, it has no respect for whether you are a married woman or you are not a married woman, a young man or an old man or whoever you are. Lord, I ask that you will give me an incurable passion for righteousness. I ask that you will give me a bottomless hatred for sin, for impurities, for uncleanliness, for defilements, for contaminations.
Ratita lata proto poroto zizinikis koferita mina gasgoriate. Letita lita prita faripa zuta la fredi goska lito proto pereto zuzu. Rekoka prito poroto zuzu nikis gato friganta la guda gaska lite preditani. Randos gete lefrida gaska lita pruta faripa zuta la frute gasgorianta la gasgoriate. Lefina gasgorianto like pereto zuzu nikis gato fedita mina gasgo. Ratota lita prita paripa zuta la fruta gasgorianta la fetita minu. Ratota lita proto poroto zuzunikis koto feta la gula. Gani koto 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 la toka li koto kopereko zoto like telefero. La proto poto poto paruta zuta la proto parito zoto like telefredo. Ratota luta fruta paripa zuta la fru. In Jesus' name we pray.
That guy that I told you his story, he said the guy, he knew the guy well, but the guy was so struck, so bad, that he saw his friend. He said, after he came down with the transmission, you know, there is something that is called sexually transmitted disease. There's another thing that is called sexually transmitted demons. When he came down by that attack, he looked at his friend and said, "You look like somebody that I know. Do I know you from anywhere?" There was a radical mental erosion that he suffered on account of those expeditions. But he died eventually. Like my friend raised the lamentation the other day, he went to a place to preach. Almost 100% a fellowship. And then he made an altar call for lesbians, for homosexuals, for masturbators and people that are given to all manner of lewdness and defilement. About almost 80% of the people came out. And then how was he able to keep himself? And you don't know the woman that Joseph escaped from, the wife of the president. No preacher was around. Nobody was preaching to him. But we listen to all kind of people, listen to all kind of message. They hear this man of God, they hear another one, but it is not translating into power to quench the appetite for iniquity. I want us to open our mouth and pray and say, and ask the Lord to help our generation. And then ask the Lord also to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord concerning the matter of cleanliness, concerning the matter of purity, concerning the matter of sanctity, purity, and cleanliness, spiritual cleanliness of life. Ask the Lord to help you in that regard. Ask the Lord to help each and every one of us in that regard, so that we will perpetually possess our vessel in righteousness, in holiness, in cleanliness, because that is the greatest insurance against every incursion, against every invasion, against every plague of darkness. What witchcraft could not achieve, immorality achieved it. 23,000 people were cut off and destroyed. 23,000. Lord, we look up to you. We ask you to show us mercy. We ask you to show us mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, let's be seated. Let the offering basket move around. It's a very serious trouble. When my friend was giving that talk that day, it was really, really challenging. He said, if you think that God has many men, you may be deceiving yourself. That God don't have many men. If you zoom into the private lives of people, for instance, if you that call and the line of complaint is one, this one calls you from the north, the south, from the east, from the west, I say there's an issue I have, just be sure that it is one thing the person will say. Amen. And the Bible said in one day, you know, when you read the Bible, you find motivation to live clean. One of the seasons I was terribly tempted. Then I opened the Bible and I looked at it. So the Bible said, in one day, 23,000 people were destroyed. 23,000. We that are here, we are not up to 23,000. I mean, we are not up to 1,000. But imagine we are up to 1,000. That means this congregation up to 23 times. That God delivered, he killed them one day because of immorality. So I advise myself, if that was what made God kill them, what made you think that you are special? What made him destroy 23,000? What made you think that you are now special? Because you have thick muscle, and then you will do the same thing, and then there is a favor you will find with him that will make him leave you. That is a big joke. One big joke. When you read the Bible like that, that if I delve into iniquity, I am not too special not to be ruined by what is ruining others. That will constitute sufficient motivation to possess your vessel in holiness. And I think the reason why God is bringing this kind of radical emphasis on our way is because they are holy things that he is set to commit into our hands. The critical precondition is purity of life, which of course is not impossible. Amen. Please let's rise up as we wind up. And as you go home, ponder on this solemn mercy and pray about it. Contrary to our initial announcement, we will no longer be meeting here on Sunday, but we will meet every other day until Sunday. Take time on Sunday to rest and put the things you have been learning into private practice, so that on Monday we come back here again and we continue. I hope you understand the announcement. We meet on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then we rest on Sunday. Then we resume the cycle. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming.